your friends in Jesus Christ, have you ever done something maybe considered hard, like trying to lose some weight? Kind of a common thing that people find themselves in today in America. So maybe you began to try to do it and you hope to keep going to accomplish your goal. But after a while though, you felt like quitting. What about Jesus? Well, he came to take away the sin of the world. He came to do something much more difficult than trying to lose some weight. And it was so very important what he did because it meant the salvation of the entire world. However, though, as he got closer and closer, he knew what was coming, and it was so difficult. He was becoming overwhelmed with the thought of what he would have to endure, and he felt like quitting. Maybe not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man, he did not want to go through the horror of what was coming for him. Think about the title here, No Matter What, Keep Going. The idea is that when Jesus was feeling that way, we come to him being transfigured, and we also come to Moses and Elijah being sent by God down to give Jesus some important encouragement as he's coming to this very difficult time in his life. What is the setting here? Well, we're in Luke chapter 9. We're picking up in verse 28, and the Bible says, some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. So in that section there, I'm keying on where it says, these sayings. So what sayings are we talking about? Looking earlier in Luke chapter 9, there are three key things that Jesus mentioned. First of all, he asked Peter, who do people say that I am? And here in Luke, the way it's recorded, Peter said that Jesus is the Christ of God. So when we hear the word Christ, that would be the Greek version. Messiah is the Hebrew version. And both of the words mean he is the anointed one. He is the one that God the Father promised there in the Garden of Eden right after Adam and Eve fell into sin. So it's very significant that Peter is calling him the Christ of God. And then, a little bit after that, earlier in the same chapter, Jesus tells his disciples he's going to be rejected, he's going to be killed, and he's going to be raised back to life on the third day. And then, right after that, he tells his disciples what it means for them to be his disciples. He tells them two key things. He says, to be my disciples, you must deny yourselves and take up your cross daily and follow me. That applied to those people back then, his disciples. Let's understand that the words disciple and Christian can be used interchangeably. We don't oftentimes call ourselves disciples today. Oh, we're not a disciple, we're a Christian. Let's understand, same thing. So what is Jesus saying to us? He is saying to us, it's so important that we deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. What does that mean? We all have our own thoughts and ideas. And then we're reading the Bible and we can see that God has other thoughts and ideas. To deny ourselves would mean, oh, right here at this moment, I want to do this, and yet God is reminding me of what his word says, and God says, I want you to set that aside and not do that, and I want you to do this instead. That's what it means to deny ourselves. Now, should we be inspired to do that? Think about Jesus. How much did he deny himself for us? So now the idea here is that we would deny ourselves in order to follow him, in order to honor him. What's this idea of taking up our cross daily and following him? As we live for Christ, as we speak for Christ, what's going to happen in this fallen world? We're going to be persecuted. And when we are persecuted, that's going to be unpleasant. What Jesus is saying, when it becomes unpleasant, don't stop speaking for me. Don't stop living for me. These are important things. So, like I mentioned already with the title today, Moses and Elijah are going to tell Jesus, hey, keep on going no matter what. What is Jesus saying to us today as his disciples? He's saying, keep denying yourselves, keep taking up your cross daily, keep going, even though it's difficult, keep going no matter what. That's important. There are many forces in the world that are trying to get us to stop, trying to get us to give up, trying to get us to take what seems to be the easy way, and yet the easy way is not the way to heaven. Jesus wants us to understand that today. Well, going further here, coming to the second part, Jesus was radically changed. In other words, he was transfigured. The Bible says, and while Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. So when it says his face became different, like you can look at me right now and you see what I look like, and imagine if I became different. Now, we don't have it here in Luke, but over in one of the other Gospels, it says that Jesus' face began to shine as bright as the sun. Can you imagine how awesome that was when he was transfigured? And you can imagine his clothing was probably kind of a brown color. You know, it wasn't white and gleaming at all. So for his face to begin to shine like the sun and his clothes to become white and gleaming, it was quite a situation. So what was going on there? Think about Jesus' entire life, many extraordinary things, but he always looked like an ordinary human being. Now keep in mind, he's the Son of God, but he's wearing human flesh. So who he really is was hidden inside of him, hidden by the human flesh. But now though, for a brief moment, he shows Peter, James, and John who he really is with this transfiguration. And then, kind of thinking about heaven coming down to earth for a moment, the Bible says, and behold, two men were talking with Jesus, and they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So I want to look at four different points here. First of all, let's think a little bit about Moses and Elijah. With Moses, he was called by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt after their long time of slavery. He also received the Ten Commandments and many other laws from God. He also was pointing people to the coming of the Messiah. A little bit on Moses, and then what about with Elijah? Elijah, he lived a lot of centuries later than Moses. And what were some of his key things? God was using him in order to speak against the false worship of Baal. Isn't it such a sad thing that God chooses a certain people, God so greatly blesses them, and after we get centuries down the road, these people have forgotten all about the one true God who has so richly blessed them, and now they're worshiping false gods. So Elijah was called to call the people to repent, to stop it, to remember who God is, to remember what God has done, and to turn from this false worship back to the one true God. Many of the prophets were doing the very same things over the centuries. And then it says here that Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. Now, this is a complicated part here, but let me lay out some things that we do know, though. So when we think about Moses, I read earlier how Moses lived, Moses died, and God buried him. What about with Elijah? Now, Elijah is very unique. Elijah did not physically die, but the Bible tells us that he was taken to heaven alive in a chariot of fire. So with Moses and Elijah, very unique in how they left this life, Moses buried by God, Elijah the chariot of fire. Let's understand, kind of bringing in what I said to the children, that when Moses and Elijah left this life, they went to be with God and to live with God in soul and spirit. The Bible makes it clear, even Jesus himself said, that God is not the God of the dead, he is the God of the living. And when he said that, he was referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's not just Moses and Elijah who are alive up there, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the other various people who died with their confidence in the coming Messiah. When we see that they appeared in glory, some people get this idea and they're thinking about maybe them having a glorious body. Now with Jesus, he had his earthly body when he was raised from the dead. Then he received his, what we might call his glorified body. He received a body that will last forever. With my reading of the Bible, I don't see anybody else getting their glorified body. Now, the Bible says that when Jesus comes, we will have a body like his. However, though, it's stating that we will get that body when he comes. So I don't believe that Moses and Elijah already have their glorified bodies and they're appearing to Jesus with those glorified bodies. I don't think that's what we're dealing with here. But when we come to the word glory, the Greek word here is doxa. And there are actually five different ways we can look at that word. So I'm trying to take a look at it when I prepared the sermon and trying to figure out like which of those meanings probably applies to Moses and Elijah. And the best that I can figure out, I think it's talking about the one that says, here are Moses and Elijah, and they are well-known people from the Old Testament who were believers, and they were appearing as men who had an excellent reputation in the Old Testament. God the Father has sent them down in order to give this great encouragement to Jesus at this most difficult time in his life. So I hope that tries to answer this idea of them appearing in glory. I think people have different kinds of ideas, but we always have to go with what the Bible says. So I tried to say to you, okay, let's try to figure this out. The Bible says this, 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 and this. So from that information, we have to try to come to a proper conclusion. But it's still a little bit difficult to understand. And then we come to Jesus' departure here. So with his departure, what does that include? Well, he can't leave, he can't depart until he has been arrested and beaten and crucified and then lays down his life. So really with his departure, all that has to happen first. There's a passage over in John chapter 12 where Jesus is thinking about his departure and he said, now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. In other words, according to his human nature, that's what he's thinking. Oh, it's going to be so difficult. Father, get me out of this situation. But then he said, but for this purpose I came to this hour. So he understands who he is, he understands why God the Father sent him, and even though it's going to be so, so difficult, that's why he is here, and he's going to push through, and he's going to do it for us, and praise God that he did. And then going further in our text here, we're up to verse 32. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. And as these men were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And then the Bible adds here, not realizing what he was saying. So understand, this whole thing for Peter, James, and John, I mean, can you imagine what an awe-inspiring situation it was? They're simply up on this high mountain with Jesus, and then Jesus is transfigured, and now we have Moses and Elijah appearing. I mean, it had to be an overwhelming thing. This is how I'm looking at it. They saw things that were so amazing, and we might pick up here, that they recognized Moses and Elijah. How could they recognize them? Well, I think we had a little bit of heaven on earth at this point. God says right now that we know in part, but he says a time is coming when we will fully know, even as right now, God to us, we are fully known. I'm talking about what we have there at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I think what we have going on is just for a moment, God has enabled Peter, James, and John to know who these men are. Just like when we get to heaven, we're not going to have to wear name tags. We're going to be like, oh, here comes Abraham. And we're going to know who he is without even having a formal introduction. God's going to enable us to know many things. I think that's what we have going on here. So not only did they see something amazing, but they liked it, though. It was an awe-inspiring thing. What does the word awe really mean here? It is respect that is mixed with fear and wonder. So it's a, boy, it's just a thing that is so amazing. And then I think we could say that they wanted it to continue. So they have this idea that they could make these three temporary shelters. Maybe we can extend this whole experience. That's what Peter came up with, but like the Bible says, not really realizing what he was saying. And then going on here, we have clarification and also an important command. While Peter was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." So Peter, James, and John are there. Maybe like a real heavy fog, like rolling in so quickly. Now they find themselves like inside this cloud, in this fog, probably obscuring their vision and also brought fear upon them. And then they hear the voice. Thinking about what the voice said, of course, it's the voice of God the Father. And he said, "This is my son, my chosen one." Here we are at the end of the season of Epiphany, and that's really what this season is all about, is us coming to the certainty that Jesus is the very Son of God in human flesh. So the greatest way we know that is from the Transfiguration. Not only is God the Father saying it, but Jesus is visibly showing that he is much more than a human being, with his face shining like the sun and with his clothes gleaming white. When we think about Jesus being the Son of God, let's understand that he is the greatest of all teachers. He is the greatest of all miracle workers. He is the greatest of all examples in the entire world. Some people know those things and they stop there. But we can't stop there, even if he's all those things to the greatest degree. He cannot take away the sins of the world unless he is the very Son of God in human flesh. So praise God, that's what he is. Praise God, he has made that known to us so clear in the Holy Bible. And then this topic of listen to him. Listen to him. I think it's easy to tell ourselves, I am listening to him. And yet to listen to him isn't just to have it go into our ear, but it's much more than that, though. In other words, to listen to him would be to gladly hear what Jesus is saying and then to think about the words that Jesus said, by the grace of God to understand those words, by the grace of God to believe those words are true, and by the grace of God to apply those words in our lives. So to listen to him is so very important. In James chapter 1, it says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." So if people, like myself years ago, I went to church faithfully and I listened to what was said, but the thing is, I never did anything with it. So I was deceived and I didn't even know it, but the idea is that we're taking it in and it's changing us. It's making us different. It's causing us more and more to be devoted to our Savior and to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily and follow him and to continue to do such things until finally we are with him forever. Now, none of that is what saves us. Jesus did all that is necessary, but when we have, by the grace of God, that saving relationship with him, that is going to make a difference in our lives. That's going to show in what we say and in what we do. And then coming to the end here. And when the voice of God the Father had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And Peter, James, and John kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. So the whole process here with Jesus being transfigured, Moses and Elijah appearing, God the Father speaking, it probably all happened very rapidly, but God accomplished the purposes that he had in mind here with the transfiguration. So first of all, Jesus was encouraged, and he was ready now to go forward to this most difficult part of his life. And then what about the disciples back then and even us today? Since we are sure that Jesus is God, since we know he is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to heaven, what can we say about us? Because we know all of that, let us be more determined than ever to keep following him no matter what. Let me conclude like this today, since we are at the end of Epiphany and coming to the season of Lent. So this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Now understand, when we talk about different seasons of the church year, you know, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, these are all made up things. We can't find the church year seasons in the Bible, but they were made up about 1700 years ago. And they're made up as a way to move through each year in order to keep us focused on Christ. That's a good thing, isn't it? He's our Savior. He's our all in all. We want to remain focused on him. There are churches that don't do the church year, and sometimes they're doing fine and they're dealing with the Bible in a good way, but sometimes they can kind of get over into social type things, how to deal with anger and how to deal with all kinds of things that are not connected to Jesus Christ. So the church year can be a blessing to us. Of course, sometimes we do various topics here at Bethlehem that are trying to get at some important things in the Bible for our lives in Christ. But coming to the season of Lent, though, we do something different here at Bethlehem in that we have services on Wednesdays. So for 6 Wednesdays in a row, we have services both at 11 in the morning, 7 in the evening. Now, coming to Ash Wednesday next week, we have our services, but we don't have any meals. But then with the other 5 Wednesdays, we offer a free meal. So the idea is, if you're able to come during the day, you come for the service at 11, then right after the service, we have a nice free meal down the hall. Or if you're not able to come during the day, then you come in the evening. So you can come around 6:30, whenever you can get here. There's a free meal down the hall, then we gather in here at 7. So it's a time of having greater devotion to Jesus. It's a time to grow up in our faith. It's a time down the hall to be able to get better acquainted as brothers and sisters in Christ. So I'm thankful to all the ones who are making that happen, and I invite you to come and be part of it. Hey, you can skip your meal preparation on Wednesdays and just come here. Come and find out what it's about. Okay, with all that said, how about if we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so very much for pushing through the horror of being flogged and crucified for our salvation. Help us, work within us, move us to be fully devoted to you, and help us to seize every opportunity to tell others about your loving, difficult, and finished work for our salvation. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.